Madam President.
Senator Daley.
I impose a call of the Senate.
The Senate is under call.
Madam President.
Senator Daley.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails and the Sergeant-at-Arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Eileen Blanche from Rivers of Living Water Christian Center in Lake City. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good afternoon. Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads before you, Lord. We thank you for this incredibly beautiful day and the great weather that we've been having in Minnesota. Lord, I ask that you would help us to enjoy this time, even though I know, Lord, there are so many decisions that need to be made here. Father, I ask that you would bring forth a wisdom, an uncanny wisdom that is not common to man, that you would just move in great intelligence among the men and the women here in the Senate, Lord, that are making decisions on behalf of the state of Minnesota. Lord, I know they're eager to get out there and go fishing and do the fun things that are lying ahead in the summer months. So in these last days, I just ask that there would be a grace here, a grace to just wrap things up, to resolve whatever needs to be resolved, that they would be able to move on. And Father, I do also ask, Lord, I just ask, God, that you bless them. I ask that your hand of favor and your hand of blessing would be on them. I know that they have sacrificed. I know that they have fought for what they believed in, that they are laboring, God, on behalf of others, and truly they have come to serve. And so give them a blessing, whatever it is, satisfy the desires of their heart. And so we pray all of these things in your precious and wonderful name, the great I Am. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which liberty and justice. Senator Daley.
Madam President, I move to recess to the call of the chair at approximately 2 p.m.
On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
The Senate is in recess.
Madam President.
Senator Sanchin.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion does prevail. Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daley, DeKreif, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Ham, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebrigtsen, Jungbauer, Keelash, Koch, Kunin, Cruz, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Lori, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Scoy, Sparks, Tump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandiver, Wieger, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Moving to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which the amendments to the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 230, a bill for an act relating to health occupation. Senate File 230 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 230 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File Number 946 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted. Senate File 946, a bill for an act relating to education. Senate File 946 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File Number 2324 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted. Senate File 2324, bill for an act relating to occupational licensing. Senate File Number 2324 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File 2493 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted. Senate File 2493, a bill for an act relating to natural resources. 2493 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 2555, a bill for an act relating to state government. The House respectfully requests that the Conference Committee of three members be appointed thereon. Kiffmeyer, Pepin, and Nelson have been appointed to such a committee on the House. House File Number 2555 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Bonoff.
I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File Number 2555 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with the like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files numbers 1284 and 2685. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Moving to the fourth order of business, the first reading of House bills. House file 1284, first reading. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that House File Number 1284 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. House File 2685, first reading. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that House File Number 2685 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the fifth order of business, reports of committee. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move the reports be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the eighth order of business, introduction of first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's Senate bill introductions and will be referred as indicated first reading. Moving to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, I would move pursuant to Rule 26, that the following bills be designated for special orders and immediate consideration. They are the two bills on your desk list, number 61 and number 71, general order list.
We'll begin with number 61 on the general orders calendar, House File 2821. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, House File 2821 is a technical correction bill to the court-ordered redistricting plan that we that was laid down on us in late February. There are two technical corrections that are made in this legislation. They've been brought to us by the League of Minnesota Cities and vetted by the Secretary of State's office. The first change, and by the way, members, this does not impact any Senate district. What this does is alter two lines between House districts, one in Senate District 39 and one in New Senate District 49. The first change, members, is in Stillwater Township, a House district line followed a highway instead of the township boundary. And what that resulted in was a precinct of 12 individuals. So that obviously causes cost, confusion, and even there's some voter privacy and identity issues there. The second change is actually something that we as a legislature have changed before, 10 years ago in the last court-ordered plan. And this is a boundary on the south side of Edina was actually drawn through a senior apartment complex, literally right down a hallway. So citizens on one side of the hallway were on the A side of the district, and citizens on the other side of the hallway were on the B side. So again, causing election day confusion. Members, I know of no opposition. You should have on your desks a letter from the League of Minnesota Cities asking for your support. We also have, if any particular members have questions, we have maps of these lines, and you can get a bird's eye view if you'd like. So I'll stand for questions and ask for your support.
Further discussion on House File 2821, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I would inform the body that there is opposition to this bill, and I would ask the members to vote no. We gave up, in my opinion, as well as others, the opportunity to deal with redistricting over a year ago. And the matters are still before the court. We've just seen within the last few days a couple of orders coming down from the courts dealing with attorney's fees, as a matter of fact. And I would suggest that those that want changes made of any kind submit a letter or a brief or whatever would be the appropriate document to the courts and let them decide the matter. And I would ask members to vote no.
Senator Michelle.
Well, Madam Chair, just a brief response. We did check with our own Senate counsel and looked at the exact wording of the redistricting plan, and certainly we have the authority to do this, members. And I'd argue when it's obvious that the court-ordered plan has created a hassle, literally it's just a technical mistake of where the line was drawn, then it is incumbent upon us, it's our responsibility to fix that kind of an error. It affects a very small number of people, members. The 39 District 39 change affects 12 people. A District 49 change affects 167. So if we can make the local election officials' jobs a little easier, this is our responsibility, Madam Chair. And the actual language of the court order, if you read it, contemplates legislative action. And so again, I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion on House File 2821. Secretary will give House File 2821 its third reading.
House File Number 2821, a bill for an act relating to redistricting, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2821. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 35 ayes and 29 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next special order designation is number 71 on the general orders calendar, Senate file 1983. Senator
Kreif. Thank you, Madam President. Senate file 1893 is a bill that eliminates the statutory automatic annual general fund transfers from two special revenue funds, the construction code fund and the fire safety account, both of which have been raided in recent years to help balance the state general fund budget, as well as modifying fees and surcharges to encourage the funds collected will go toward their intended purposes without getting a surplus that could be raided in the future. Construction code fund provisions perform the following functions: eliminate the annual transfer of $1.515 million from the construction code fund to the general fund, and that was put in place in 2007. And what we're doing is we're putting that out to June 30th of 2015. Also, it sets the building permit surcharge at $1 beginning in 2015, which is up from 50 cents. The $5 building permit surcharge is extended into 2015. The construction code fund is funded by permit fees for electrical and construction code inspections, but the fund has been running out short on money. The funds are dedicated to the inspection programs, but have been transferred to the general fund lately to help the budget deficit. 2 years ago, the building permit surcharge was increased from 50 cents to a flat fee of $5 in the jobs omnibus bill. The fee generates about $1.3 million a year, which helps offset the $1.5 million annual transfer, but leaves the account short on funds to carry out the necessary electrical inspections. Contractors are upset that their permit fees aren't being used for their original purpose of providing inspections and feel their fees should be reduced if there is an excess being taken to balance the budget. Inspectors understand the legislature needs to capture money from time to time to balance the budget, but don't think it should be automatic in statute.
Excuse me, Senator DeKreif. It is very noisy in here, and it has been steadily rising since Senator DeKreif started. So please, members, please keep the noise down. Senator DeKreif.
The bill would eliminate the statutory transfer language starting in 2016 and set the building permit surcharge at $1 instead of 50 cents, thus avoiding the ongoing need to set a $5 surcharge in the jobs omnibus bill every biennium. This will provide the DLI with sufficient revenues to perform inspections and perform proper enforcement. Even though it looks like a fee increase, it is effectively a fee reduction of $4.50. This solution would make the fund whole without affecting the budget tails, and the fee would only pay for the services provided. The total amount coming in would be lowered, so there isn't extra money that the legislature would be tempted to spend. The next part of this bill is the fire safety account provisions performed, and they perform the following functions. They delete the FSA from the repayments priority list for when the state runs a budget surplus. It reduces the surcharge on homeowners' commercial fire and commercial non-liability insurance policies from 0.65% to 0.5% beginning July 1st, 2013. It eliminates the ongoing $2.368 million transfer from the FSA account to the general fund created by the 2006 legislature starting in 2014 to offset the loss of revenue to the general fund when the one half of the 1% tax on fire insurance premiums was repealed in 2006. It also provides a one-time appropriation to fiscal year 2013 of any unallocated balance not to exceed $4.5 million from the FSA to the Department of Public Safety for firefighter training, education, and other fire services programs as listed. This appropriation is a governor's recommendation and requires a report to the legislature regarding the balances and the use of the FSA. Senate on this, the firefighters provision of this bill, Senator Roebling may be able to shed more light on, and I would let her to let her explain more on that.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam President. We have been having quite an extensive discussion about this fire safety account, and it is in a bill that's sitting on the Senate floor from the House right now, but it's not this bill. And so I'm thinking that maybe we should just delete this provision in the bill at this time with the A50 amendment. So I would offer the A50.
Senator Roebling offers the A50 amendment. Secretary will report.
Senator Roebling moves to amend Senate File 1983 as follows, page 1 to 2, delete sections. This is the A50 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just think that we have to do some more discussion on this. We did take this up in Finance Committee, and there's considerable debate surrounding it right now. I'm intending to continue to look at it. It's in the House file that is here that we are going to be taking up as a kind of a final fiscal bill, and so I would like to deal with it at that time.
Further discussion, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask members to vote no, and I request a roll call. It seems to me that there has been a great deal of discussion. It's continued yet today, and we know that the interested parties in the fire service are amenable. It's not everything they wanted or think is fair, but they're amenable to the language that is in the bill today, and would ask us to support the bill as it is. And I hope you would reject Senator Roebling's amendment at this time and let this bill go forward. If we get to nothing else, then the firefighters, everything is gone, and they get nothing. They get nothing. They don't get $4 million. They don't get anything. And it will be left to next year to act. The governor's recommendation was, I think it was $4.5 million to support our firefighters throughout the state of Minnesota and for their fire training, and I respectfully ask you to vote against Senator Roebling's amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Roebling.
Mr. President, I withdraw the amendment.
Senator Roebling withdraws the A50 amendment. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Then I would probably like to do some work on it here on the floor. I am awaiting another amendment. I think this is the only other bill we have up on special orders, isn't it? Maybe I need to talk about this a little bit, what we're trying to do. As many of you know, we have been running a big surplus in the fire safety account. And we do have money that we could appropriate for fire safety training grants. However, we want to also address the issue of building up this big surplus, because how we get this money is by a surcharge on people's property insurance. And right now that rate is 0.65. In the language before you right now, we have a rate of 0.5. which still generates a great deal of money and more than doubles what the fire departments would be able to get in grants. And so we're trying to look for the right number, one that we can agree upon. And at this point, we are talking about 0.5, but still thinking that this is generating a significant amount of money. When this provision was put into law, there was another surcharge that was removed.
And this one was put on the property insurance, and it was supposed to be for grants. It was supposed to help replace a loss in the general fund. So some money was always anticipated to go to the general fund from the removal of the other surcharge. But apparently the fire departments don't understand that, because we always get lobbied and they always say that all of that money should be coming to them. And so we continue to struggle with how, if money should be going to them or not. If we take away all the money from the general fund now, then we have a tails problem. And this not being a budget year, I can't deal with that. And so I would like to offer the A51 amendment.
Senator Roebling offers the A51 amendment. Secretary will report.
Senator Roebling moves to amend Senate file number 1983 as follows. Page 2, delete. This is the A51 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Roebling.
Mr. President, this amendment would leave the .5 in. It would give the appropriation of $4.5 million, but it would reinstate the transfer to the general fund. In the current provision, it has been taken out, but it would put it back in. It would still leave the fire departments or the fire safety fund with a lot more money than it currently has. I mean, not than it currently has, but than it has in the current proposal. But it would provide that we don't have to deal with the tails issue this year. They get the grant. We reduce the charge on our homeowners insurance or on any property insurance. So we're not building up the fund. We still would go back and look at it. It's not an ongoing appropriation, because we need to make sure that the .5 will be the right amount for this in the future. And so that's where we're trying to get to with it.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, we can't get the amendment up.
Should be there at this time, Senator Higgins. If you hit the refresh button, maybe it'll pop up. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President, and appreciate the work that Senator Roebling is willing to do on this bill, and believe at this point that we should accept the amendment. Those of us that have been working on this issue, it does get the bill into a conference committee, and we really do need to solve this six-year-old problem this year. So I would ask members to vote yes.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Secretary will... all those in favor of the A51 amendment signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Further discussion on Senate File 1983. Seeing none, Secretary will give Senate File 1983 its third reading.
Senate File number 1983, a bill for an act relating to appropriations, third reading.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted who desire to vote. All senators voting. Is a desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes and 3 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 1573 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
To that motion.
Mr. President, this is the Higher Ed Conference Committee report, and I will just go through very quickly. There are some of the provisions that were the same as it left the Senate. First, the continuing operations language for MNSCU, the MNSCU revenue bond language, the survivor's benefits, the U of M payment to Hennepin County Medical Center, and the engineering program at the Mesabi Technical College language, and those were all provisions that were the same as when they left here. There's a slight change in the textbook provision. We had that originally. There were some technical changes for the language made in this committee. The House provisions we did accept. There was language that would require the U of M to provide waiver from purchasing the U of M health insurance for students if the student had other health insurance available to them. So that we actually, it's not exactly the House language. We made that language a little clearer, but that is new to the bill. And the teacher's performance assessment, we did not have that language in our bill, but we modified the House language so that now and that's the $300 test, if people were hearing about that. We accepted revised language that would be instructing the Board of Teaching to come back to the legislature in January of 2013 with some information regarding tests or other assessments that could be eliminated to offset that $300 charge to the students. So we will be addressing that once again before the actual charge to the student go into place next March. I understand there was a question in Section 2 regarding some language on the definition of a student, and what that refers to is whether a statement of immunization would be required for those students. I would stand for any questions. There weren't a whole lot of changes. I hope I covered them.
Senator Lori.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Fischbach yield for a question?
She will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Fischbach, you did mention in your description of the changes that were added to the bill, and I know that I talked to a couple of the conferees. One of the provisions that was picked up in the conference committee was regarding the requirement that the University of Minnesota students be given a waiver for existing health insurance. I can kind of understand this provision, but I'd just like to know if you can tell me the process that it went through in the legislature, because this does have significant health ramifications. I know that there are significant concerns from the mental health community and from NAMI in particular. This is a population at great risk of mental health. They report over 30% of our University of Minnesota students have a diagnosis of mental illness, and one of the key provisions that the university guards carefully is to make sure that the policies offered through the university have comprehensive mental health coverage. And so new students coming to the university could be underinsured, particularly for mental health provisions. And so doing this without having any hearings in the health committee, without hearing from the University of Minnesota regarding how that might work, is problematic, and I wish that we hadn't picked this bill up. I know that it was a unanimous vote leaving the Senate floor, and I did register again with a couple of the conferees that this was particularly problematic, and I'd just like you to address a little bit the path that this might have gone through the legislature. I hadn't seen it in the Senate. I don't know if it traveled as a bill in the House. If you could just fill us in on that a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, it did travel as a bill through the House and was included in their higher ed bill as it came off the House floor. We did have it introduced, but were unable to have the time it came in. My understanding is it came in not late, but it came in a little later in the session, and we didn't have the opportunity to hear it in the higher ed committee. But my understanding, and I can't I can't tell you for sure exactly which committees it went through in the House, but it was in their higher ed bill when it left the floor.
Further discussion? Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know if you and I will get on the same page today about this bill, but I'll see if Senator Fischbach could perhaps answer a few questions for me. Would she yield?
She will yield.
Thank you. Senator Fischbach, with regard to the same provision you were just addressing with Senator Lori, I'm reading through the language that's in Section 1 of this Conference Committee report. Can you tell me or help me understand, does this language include a requirement that the alternative health insurance coverage that the student is supposed to provide be documented in some way, some kind of an affidavit or some kind of a description or documentation, proof that in fact they do have that alternative coverage when they seek the waiver from the required student health insurance plan?
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, I am assuming that the university would be asking for that. As a matter of fact, during the conference committee hearing, they described what they called a hard waiver, and so they were requiring documentation. And as I recall, their testimony in the conference committee is up until now they had not been requiring documentation for even their own paperwork. So now I believe they will be in the next school year from the university. But our language does not require that.
Senator Latz.
Mr. President and Senator Fischbach, it's a little bit troubling here. Our language mandates the waiver if the student requests it, and then it simply says, and the student has health plan coverage. So our language is at best ambiguous about what kind of proof of the student having the health plan coverage from another source. I'm a bit concerned about the language that's in the bill. Senator Fischbach, do you have any idea how much? I would assume this is for the purpose of saving money for someone somewhere in the system. Can you explain, if I'm understanding that purpose correctly, and how much money would be saved, for example, by each student who would not be then insured through the student health insurance plan, or if there's savings somewhere else, what kind of money is involved in those savings?
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, yes, there is, the idea that a student would be saving money. My understanding from the U of M during their testimony in the conference committee is I believe that to cover a student would be between $1,800 and $1,900 a year, and there are less expensive health insurance coverage that a student could get. In addition, this would allow the student to if their parents carried coverage, and under the current healthcare system, they're allowed to be under those coverages, those insurance, until they're 26. So if they're covered under their parents, and maybe their parents are paying significantly less as an addition for family coverage. So right now, if I recall correctly from committee, it was between $1,800 and $1,900.
Senator Latz.
Mr. President, Senator Fischbach, $1,800 or $1,900 to the university, or is it to the students' families? Are the students paying anything like a copay or for their own student health insurance coverage?
Senator Fischbach.
I'm sorry, Mr. President, could you repeat that, Senator Latz?
Yes, Mr. President, Senator Fischbach, was that $1,800 or $1,900 saved by the university if the student has alternative coverage? Or does a student also save some money directly in terms of co-pays or some kind of student fee that helps cover this?
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, I guess I am not completely familiar with the co-pays. This is what the information that the university provided us with.
Senator Latz.
Mr. President, it seems to me that's information that would be quite helpful for us to know if we were going to make a policy decision on this point. But I do have one other question here, and I'm looking at Section 1, the language in the bill. and it doesn't say anything about the quality or breadth of the alternative coverage that the student is claiming to have. Are there any requirements anywhere that you know of, Senator Fischbach, that the breadth of the coverage that the student is claiming would have to be at least somewhat comparable to the student health insurance that they're giving up? So, for example, would it have to cover, would it have to have adequate mental health coverage or behavioral health services coverage through their parents or through Minnesota Care or through some other insurance coverage?
Senator Latz, before I'm going to let her answer, I did not see Senator Carlson, but he wanted to the point before this. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Latz, let me take a stab at that for you. The question you asked about the $1,800 or $1,900, that was an additional charge to the student added on to their tuition. So if they have insurance through their parents or on their own and get the waiver, then that student would save that $1,800 or $1,900 fee, whatever it is. Let's call it $1,800. So that would be a savings to the student because they already have other insurance. To your next point about the amount of coverage, Minnesota has one of the most restrictive requirements for insurance policies in the United States. I believe we're up to 63 or 64 mandates that have to be in insurance policies, including mental health. And so while the deductibles may be different, and I believe that in the student health plan, that student health plan pays somewhere up around 90% of the charges, 90 to 95%. That's a little bit depending on what the service is. Whereas if you have a policy on your own or through your parents, your deductible could be a $250 deductible, could be a $500 deductible, could be a $5,000 deductible. It depends on what a family feels like they can afford. Many, many families that have high deductible health plans have companion health savings account. They book the amount of money that they save on their premiums. They put it in a health savings account. Something happens, they take the money out of the health savings account to pay the deductible. I think we've been through that, and you know how that works. I hope that was helpful, and if not, I would be happy to try to address any of those issues.
Thank you. Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I would renew my question then to, that's helpful, thank you, Senator. My question to Senator Fischbach then has to do with the comparability of coverage for mental health, the breadth of that coverage for mental health, perhaps beyond whatever the minimum requirement is at the state mandates, and the coverage that is presently provided for in the student health insurance through the university.
Senator Fischbach.
There is no language in the legislation regarding whether or not the health insurance is comparable, because that would be up to the individual who would be purchasing the health insurance.
Senator Latz.
So then, Mr. President, members, it sounds like a person could make a fiscal choice, a financial choice, to essentially opt out of broader mental health coverage, although, again, we don't have all the information here to know just how what the comparison is between the student health insurance and these various alternative coverages, but they might be able to try to save money on the front end, but then being left down the road needing more mental health or behavioral health services and not having easy access to it. Senator Lori indicated 30% of the services on campus, if I understood the numbers correctly, are related to mental health issues, which is pretty significant for students. It's important to have that coverage. And if it doesn't sound like it would be a direct savings to the university, the university apparently is opposed to this. At least that's the information that we have. And I wonder also what effect it would have on the pool for the health care coverage if you're allowing opt-outs from that pool. Maybe it would increase universities' costs if they have to provide insurance to a smaller pool. There's a lot of questions, members. I think it would be helpful to have brought up and considered in committee. And I guess the last point is that I'll quarrel a bit with the chair of the committee with regard to whether we had time to deal with this, because we had, I don't know, four, five, six, maybe more committee hearings for higher ed that were simply canceled this session. And I understood it to be for lack of any bills that we intended to hear. Apparently it's not for lack of bills that had been referred to the committee, but we had more than adequate time as a committee, had it been desired, to take this bill up. So I think this needs a little bit more information, a little bit more work before we're in a position to support this provision, members.
Senator Fischbach renews her motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 1573 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion does prevail. Further discussion on Senate File 1573. Secretary will give it its third reading.
Senate File number 1573, a bill for an act relating to higher education. Third reading.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted who desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 50 ayes and 13 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator St. John.
Mr. President, I would move a brief recess for purposes of appointing a conference committee.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Senate is in recess. Senate is in order. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
There is. Secretary will read the report.
Senator Senjum from the Subcommittee on Conference Committee recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as Conference Committee on Senate File 230. Senators Gerlach, Nelson, and Hoffman. House File number 2555. Senators Bonhoff, Daley, and Perry. Senator Senjum moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senator St. John.
Mr. President, at this point, I would move a recess, and this recess will probably take us on into the evening. We will certainly try to keep the members involved through emails and contact with the respective caucus staff members. We've got tax bills that we're negotiating, bonding bill which we're negotiating. We can't necessarily shut down. We don't want to do that. But I would suggest that this will move on into the evening, and it's difficult to give a time, but let's just kind of think about 8 o'clock. But members, just keep track of your emails and your staff contacts. I would move a recess.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, a point of personal privilege, just to announce that after we recess here, the Senate Tax Committee will convene in room 15, 30 minutes after we recess.
On Senator St. John, Senator Latz.
Mr. President, Senator St. John, would you be able to indicate we get at least 30 minutes notice before we reconvene?
Senator Senjum.
Senator Latz, most definitely. We can certainly do that. Yep.
On the motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Senate is in recess.
Senate will come to order. Senator Senjum.
Oh, we don't.
You bet.
I'm sorry. We'll be reverting to messages under motions and resolutions. Messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returns under file 2098, a bill for an act relating to utilities. Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of three members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House of the following Senate file. Senate file 230, a bill for an act relating to health occupations. There has been appointed a such committee on the part of the House, Norton, Quam, and Schumacher. Senate file 230 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany and Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File 288 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted, Senate File 288, a bill for an act relating to health. Senate File 288 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File 1573 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted, a bill for an act relating to higher education. Senate number 1573 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
I have the honor, Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 2269, a bill for an act relating to elections. The House respectfully requests that the Conference Committee of three members be appointed thereon. Lanning, McFarland, and Simon have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. Senate File 2269 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with a request that the Senate appoint an elect committee. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Senjum. Senator Senjum, I believe that there's a motion that you wanted to move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File 2269 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the House to act with the like conference committee appointed on the part of the House on behalf of Senator Perry. Is that correct?
Madam President, that is exactly correct. I would so move.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next motion, or a message, excuse me.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the following change in the membership of the Conference Committee on House File Number 8. Delete the name of Mack and add the name of Grunhagen. House File Number 8, a bill for an act relating to human services. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Moving to the fifth order of business, reports from committee. Secretary will read the reports.
Senator Ortman from the Committee on Taxes, to which was referred Senate File 2391, a bill for an act relating to stadiums, reports the same back with a recommendation that the bill be amended as follows, and when so amended, the bill be reported to the Senate without recommendation.
Madam President,
Senator
move to adopt.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Division has been called for. Those in favor, please stand.
Madam President, call for quorum.
Quorum has been called for. The Senate is under call.
I got it. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I would move to withdraw the committee report. I'm sorry.
Senator Senjum withdraws his motion on the committee
report. Madam President, point of order.
Senator Nino.
We have a quorum call. Only motion in order without a quorum is a motion to adjourn.
Senator Nino, I didn't quite understand you. Could you repeat that? Did you?
Madam President, the quorum was questioned. We do not have a quorum. I believe the only motion in order without a quorum is a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Senator Nino. Have you made that motion?
Madam President, no, I have not. Would you like me to?
If you'd like to make the, if that's your option.
Madam President.
Senator Senjum.
I'd be happy for Senator Nino to make that. The plan was to adjourn until 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Senator Senjum has made the motion to adjourn until 3 o'clock tomorrow. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.